Good evening, church. For those who don't know me, my name is Pietri, and I'm fortunate to have my parents and my brother here this evening to join us. They're there at the back. And I'm fortunate to share on the topic that has been dear to my heart for many years in this church. And God prompted healing in worship like a few weeks ago as I was ministering to other men in this church about problem areas that they were facing, and how God came through after worship. There was breakthrough at home. Suddenly there was a freedom to be able to speak to a spouse where there wasn't. Where there was animosity, where there was resentment, suddenly there was a greater freedom to open up. And I realized that in worshiping God, He puts things into perspective. Can we just put up the first picture of... here we go. So what does that look like? Is it like? It doesn't look like a pleasant taste. In fact, there's a lot of bitterness, maybe sourness. It's unpleasant. And I think the foundation of healing in worship should rest on what I'm doing now is we have an eternal bitterness and we have temporary bitterness. What that baby is experiencing is temporary bitterness. What we often experience is temporary bitterness. But our joy, our hope, our peace lies in our eternal bitterness that has been dealt with. We cannot resolve that issue. We can't. God had to resolve our eternal bitterness. Bitterness. But this becomes big when we lose the peace of God. When we are no longer in the peaceful waters of God, we are looking at this. We are looking at the storms. Losing sight of the bigger work that's already been done. So that's our foundation. When we speak of healing in worship, is the main work, the hard grafting has already been done. Our temporary bitterness, God uses, He can use our temporary bitterness to bring forth sanctification, to teach us about Him. It's not His will. Very often we are products of our own bitterness that we've invested or produced, where we've hurt people. But God is the one who can make all things new. So whatever I'm sharing tonight, remember, the big work has been done. Jesus is reigning. Seated in heavenly places. Therefore, we worship Him. We don't worship a Jesus that did amazing things here on earth. He is now in heaven, ruling and reigning. Therefore, we worship Him. He's the one who has all the answers, all the remedies. But, like that baby's face shows, bitterness is not pleasant. In fact, when we lose a faculty, when you have a knee injury like Sam did. Sam is there if you don't know her. She had a knee operation and suddenly the mobility that she had, the freedoms that was there, is no longer there. And longing for those freedoms to be returned isn't A plus B. Our healing is never a straight path. In fact, our injury is not a straight path. But it seems that our healing and our injury has this elusive nature because of the way we are created. And we were created not as a sum of parts, as dust, and then suddenly press play. No, God took mud or dust and breathed breath into us. His Ruah brought us to life. Nothing else. Otherwise, it would just be dust as we return to. But it's the breath of life that brings forth us. We see in Genesis 2 verse 7 that the Lord God formed man from the dust, and from the ground he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and the man became a living being. It seems, or not, it's clear that life doesn't need our participation. The way we were created, it doesn't involve us. So the origin of life doesn't involve us, and the one who ensures healing doesn't involve us. It doesn't mean we should not look after this body, but stewardship is not the same as healing and sustaining, as creating. We are merely looking after a gift. God is the one who creates, and we see he's the one who grows. It says in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 7, the one who plants and the one who waters really do not matter, but it is God who matters, because he makes the plant grow. He makes. We are spectators of his making. We cannot partake. We can create circumstances that might benefit, but there's no guarantee, because we do not give life and we do not sustain it. Even in the healing, we see Jesus here on earth. He let a man die before he brought him back to life. That is a bit counter to our best practices. We see God, Jesus, going to a man who had no faith. Often we see people of faith going to Jesus and Jesus responding to that faith. And yet at the pool of Bethesda, that man didn't even know who Jesus was. Yet Jesus healed him. Then there's a woman who he seemingly insults by saying, I can't give to you, to the dog, what's actually for God's people. And yet, there's life. Jesus is the one who determines. God is the one who makes the calls. Which puts our relationship into a bit of a quandary. Like, it's our relationship status with God is not, it's complicated, but it's not 50-50. It's not our part and God is a little part. It is mostly him. We look again to the eternal bitterness. We can spend eternity with him in the midst of a temporary hurt. But he has done it all. So we see also that it's difficult then to relate to this God who is such a big part of our life. He's the creator. We are creation. He's the one who's sovereign over all. We have limited dominion. He's the one who sees everything at all times. I barely can finish a task at a single time. And he's the God who is the healer, and we are the ones in need of healing. So it's difficult to say that we can properly relate to him. But then there's also attributes that we do relate to him. Like, we are made in his image. The Imago Dei. God himself said, let us make man into our image. We reflect him, but not all of him. And he made us, even though we are so separate, he made us to know him. It says in John 17 verse 3, and this is eternal life. This is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is the eternal joy, that we might know him. That he can reveal that this God that is so separate from us, we can have relationship with him. But we cannot just know him by knowledge. Like, I can't read the Bible even if I memorized every part of it. I still won't know him. I can't, by being born into the correct lineage, just because they might call me Majesty, Your Majesty, doesn't mean I can know another one who is majestic. I cannot even know him experientially. Once again, he is the one who gives faith that we might know him. Open our spiritual eyes to know him. He's the author of faith. He's the finisher of faith, that we can address our temporary measures, our temporary bitterness, in faith, because God can see beyond our temporary bitterness to the eternity that waits upon us, the crowns that he has for us, the joy set before Jesus allowed him to bear the cross. There's a joy set before each one of you. We see in Hebrews 6 the working out of that faith that is described in Hebrews 11:1. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It's another way of saying you must believe in him and also what he says. This is not just only pertaining to the good things, that we must believe the words that come out of his mouth. And when we read the word, God is clear on whom he is close to and whom he resists. He's close to the brokenhearted, but he resists the proud. Those who are humble and poor, crushed in spirit. It speaks of a condition of our heart that we need, or that we ascribe to by faith and recognizing who he is, that allows us knowing, that allows us intimacy. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. How do we get the clean hands and a pure heart? Jesus help us. Like I said, Jesus helps us to confess our sins and save us and sanctify us and purify us, that we might ascend the holy hill. I would like to share three testimonies based upon just this foundation of our relationship with God, where he displayed attributes to me that I knew were true, but I didn't know it. I could read it, but I didn't perceive it. It wasn't mine yet. And in sharing these testimonies, I trust that you don't have to relate completely to my situation. But look at the heart of God. See how my bitterness was, how it came to be, and the goodness of God in healing, in loving me, in knowing me, expressing his love towards me. So the first one was God showing himself to be sovereign. John Piper's definition of sovereignty is, God's sovereignty is his right and power to do what he decides to do. He is in control. He will not lose control. So myself and Karin got married in 2010. And 2 years later, we decided to that it is now time for us. We are ready to be parents. Don't know what we were thinking, but faith. I think faith. So so we tried, and it took us more than a year to eventually fall pregnant. There were some medical issues. And we were so glad. It was just like monthly disappointment just suddenly was replaced with a hope. And just that future of, sure. I remember we all both thought like it's going to be a boy. Because you're starting to dream. And then we went to the gynecologist just for a normal visit. And the gynecologist told us, but there's unfortunately not a heartbeat anymore. And then he starts using words like evacuation procedure. And like you are like caught unaware. Like it just out of nowhere. You're in a train wreck and you barely know how this is going to play out. You just know that this hurts. That this will be unpleasant. And in this moment, I really just don't know what to do. And as we went home, I started just speaking to God and asking him and just, in a sense, battling. But in that battle, I realized that the same hope and joy that I felt for this life yesterday, even though the life is not there, the same God who was for me, who worked this into my heart, he's the same God. Today's truth did not change him. He was still in control. Even though my life was in chaos, even though I was out of control, unable to comprehend how to live this out, God was still in control. He was still a loving God. He was still kind and generous to me. He did not change. You can go to the next slide. And I realized that in my brokenness, in my utter disappointment, He has the answers. The same answers that were true yesterday, I need those answers today. Even though the situation changed, he still had the same answers yesterday for me. And I realized that he is in control. That we can worship this God, even though our body and our minds doesn't want to do this. We could subdue the flesh. My reality was not greater, even though it felt. Even though the peace suddenly disappeared, and that seemed terrible, it wasn't greater than God's reality, because God's reality was true yesterday and that day that it happened. And as a family, as myself and Karin could come before God and just sing, we could sing to this God, even though it doesn't make sense. We could worship him because he was sovereign. And you might be in a moment of shock. I don't know what disappointment recently happened where you haven't completely dealt with the hurt of it. I saw it this weekend. On Friday, I spoke words to Karine that just cut. That just wasn't pleasant. And I hurt my wife. And, ask God to show him not to forget those moments. Injustice, deception, lies being spoken to you, about you. Recognize that God is in control. None of those bitterness he cannot deal with. The second one is where he became Jehovah Rapha to me, the God who heals. Our first pregnancy was complicated, to put it lightly. There was multiple emergency events where during the pregnancy we had to rush to the hospital because of complications. Karin was put on bed rest for a month. It was a lot of unpleasant things that happened during those 32, 33 weeks. And even on that night that Elaine came, it was chaos as Karin woke up with an emergency. We had to rush to the hospital. They're trying to get a heartbeat on our daughter, and nothing. And the nurse is busy trying to say, I can't get a heartbeat. It's chaotic. And then they pull me away to go sign papers. And then the doctor who was on call realized that the medical condition that my wife had, it's called placenta previa, wasn't diagnosed early enough. So they weren't ready for my wife. They didn't have enough blood. So the operation, when that happened, my wife lost 2.5 liters of blood. They rushed, like nurses ran past me because there wasn't enough blood. And then they took Elaine from her and put her in an incubator and just went past by me. And there my baby goes, and I don't know where she's going. I don't know what's happening to my wife. She was for more than an hour and a half on the operating table because of the complexities. And I was just lost. Like, I didn't know what was happening. But even in the midst of this chaos, God had Dr. Brandt at hand, a brilliant doctor who was able to save my wife. I could phone Nico Schlierbusch at 3:00 in the morning. I said, I'm lost. Like, I need someone. And he came. And when he left, my sister came. So even in the midst of all this chaos, God was still a loving God. I could still see his grace. So Elaine is born and she's in NICU, in the neonatal ICU. My wife is in the ICU for 3 days. She barely knew what was going on because of just the trauma that she was. And then we're trying to get milk to this baby who now needs mommy's milk. And it is chaos as I'm running with a millimeter of colostrum. I'm running to the neonatal ward. When it comes there, it's hard or dry. So I have to run back, and we'd get trying the process, and my wife is hurt, and it was a mess. But you kind of sort of adjust to the mess, because you have to. Like, the world is going on, Pietri. The world is oblivious, not oblivious, but this bitterness is very bitter, and I'm having to deal with it kind of sort of on my own. And the world need to go to work, and I need to go back to work, and we need to go back to work, and my wife will stay in hospital, and all of these things happen, and then you start off. And so Elaine came home, and then we have a baby. And in that process, you forgot about how all of this came to be. And then 5 years later, I go to a Holy Spirit retreat in Somerset West. And so there was a moment of worship. And during the worship, I just had this prompting that I needed to go in front and speak to one of the facilitators. And as I'm sharing, like, he's asking me questions just about, like, deep questions, like, where's my heart? And as he's asking a question, like, he touched on, I don't know what he asked, but what I responded with was all of the brokenness that happened 5 years early, all of those moments that just cut me, I could express them. For the first time, I could speak them open. I can just say, I was hurt by the doctor. I was hurt when I couldn't see or touch my baby. And as I brought them to light, as I spoke them, God started bandaging me. As I declared the places where I got hurt, He started healing me. He started the process of healing me. In that school wall, I could bring each of my hurts to Him. Every one of them, I could just break down. I could. He allowed me to heal snot in trane. Ek kan morsig daar gewees. I could just break before Him. And I was free to do it. And He took away my temporary bitterness. It was just very unpleasant. It's not that I'm still there. I'm free to actually speak about it. It's just very unpleasant. And I don't want it back. But it was not pleasant. But He healed me so that I can speak of it. That I'm no longer overwhelmed. I'm no longer so pierced by it. Because He healed me. Light came in and healing began. And you might be walking around with wounds. You might be walking around them for a very long time. And I'm asking and I'm trusting God to remind you. I'm seeing my mother here tonight. I am an author of a lot of wounds for my mother, and yet I'm preaching about healing. Because God is the one who does the healing. He's the one who does the saving, the forgiving, but He's the one who will do the healing in my mother's heart. Maybe He has done it already. Trust Him. Death, divorce, rejection, He can heal it all. All of it. Nothing is beyond our sovereign God. Nothing. Nothing. Because He wills. It's His good pleasure to heal us. And then He became the God who sees. I'm encouraged by Gerard being here. Probably around 12 years ago, I was in Tygerberg. Gerard is my brother. So I was in Tygerberg and I was wrestling with this question that Angus Buchan had, that God is more real to him than the person next to him. I was like, God, how is that possible? None of that makes any sense. But I want that. I want that. And that whole week, I had this burning desire that I wanted to go to Gerard, my brother, but I don't know why. I didn't know why. I knew I wanted to go, but I didn't know why. And then I just said, Gerard, I'm going to come. He said, sure, come. So on my way, I'm praying, God, I need to go, but I don't know why. And as I'm stopping there, He dropped a word of knowledge into my heart. And as I just spent time with Gerard that evening and spoke that word, he realized that God is the God that saw, and I realized that God gave me the right word for my brother, because God is the God who sees. He sees me, He sees my brother, He sees every one of you. Amen. So our third child came with more complications. Just apologies for the theme. I don't want, it's not about childbirth, essentially. I'm not implying anything. I'm just, you all have your own moments. But God used my children. Like, I'm surrounded by women. I still don't quite understand why. But pray for us. Derek, pray for us. Pray for us. Words are many. Understanding is few. So our third child came with more complications for Karin. It was more severe with regards to the danger to her life. It was no longer just placenta previa, but it was also a creta. That just means the placenta grew into Karin's abdomen. Like, it was a very dangerous operation, but God. Because Dr. Brandt knew this. Dr. Brandt already prepared beforehand how he was going to deal with the operation. It was like a prep. He already told us in one of our meetings, like, he already prepared in his mind who's going to do what, where they're going to be. So in the midst of, just can you go to that next one? God's peace reigned in our calamity. Because Dr. Brandt, human wisdom was there, but there was also a fellowship of believers. A cell. And I love those people. They prayed for us. They came around us. They blessed us. They trusted with us. God put people around me, a doctor, and he gave us a sure foundation of faith. That even though there was worse circumstances now, even though Nadia was going to come early as well, peace was our portion. So just a few testimonies. So as Karin went into the operation, instead of having other blood, they gave her own blood back. I don't know how the procedure worked, but they gave her own blood back. So instead of her being 3 days in ICU, she was 1 day there, and I think after a few hours, she was awake and lucid because it was her own blood. Her recovery was just like through the roof. Like all the areas where we struggled the previous time, it was like there was victory. It was whatever the enemy sowed there that was bitter. God said, no, hope, joy, resurrection. He came and brought resurrection. And as that day went, when I look back, I'll just explain all of it, but after a week, when I look back at Karin's, the procedure as well as what happened, God came into every moment that was exposed at that Heal Holy Spirit retreat. Every minute detail. He came in and he built upon that ruin. Like a neonatal specialist that was just aloof of me. He didn't consider me. He just walked past me. This time, it was the same guy. But he was considerate. He put his hand on me. That doctor, the change in that doctor, I don't know if it was God, but it was a complete transformation because he's a specialist. He's very good, but I know people who have dealt with him also that have had similar experiences of his bedside manner. But that day, it was a complete different. The time where my baby was just rushed past me, they stopped. They said, come look at your baby. Instead of just that, they said, come with us. So the lift that was only for medical personnel became my lift. I got to walk with my baby into the neonatal unit. This time, I could touch her where it was withheld from me the previous time. The healing our baby required. Every day there was like better, a better report. Every day. Karin's milk just came in quicker. Everything. God just dealt with every hurt issue that was exposed 2 years prior. He came and built upon that ruins to show me that he saw all of it. None of it was hidden. None of it. Not a single moment in that process through Elaine. He saw it and he rebuilt upon it. Because he's the God who sees us. He's the God who heals us. But he's the God who knows us. He knows you. There's nothing hidden from him. Nothing. And maybe like Haggai, you are running away from very difficult circumstances. It's easier just to not think about it. We don't always have to run away to run away. We can start run away by being busy with other things. I realized this past 2 months, like there's a lot of pressure on me at work and other places that I start doing work like at home because at least one and one makes two there. But it's because there's so much other chaos. There's so much other balls that I just want to do this thing that, and it's lacquer for my wife because stuff gets done, but it's more escape for me than it is dealing with the discomfort that I'm experiencing. So if you're running away this evening, maybe you're not running away. Maybe it is proper bitterness that you are experiencing and you just don't know how to deal with it. Know that the angel of the Lord that saw Haggai spoke to her in a name, where Abram and his wife spoke of the servant. So you might feel like a servant, like somebody who's not recognized. God says to you, Retief, Karen, Willem, he says your name because he knows you. And he wants to heal you. We're going to worship now. But I trust that God will, that you will humble yourself this evening. That we will become, that we will recognize who God is and who we are. But that he is the sovereign one who heals us. Because he sees all of our injuries.